My name's Victoria. And I was in the office before service, meditating and preparing. And I looked out in the parking lot before it was time to come in, and I got really emotional because I saw all the cars. And I just knew it was a big deal to come into a gathering of people, this many people, gathering in the name of something. And today we're gathering in the name of the Christ, and that the Messiah, which means the anointed one. And that's sort of like in the Semitic understanding of this belief that we have about the Christ. It's like a wick that gets oiled up and is ready to be lit, ignited like a spark. And it's interesting because in the most ancient of literature that I've come across is the Vedic literature. And the very first combination of syllables is Agni, and that means to ignite, it's fire. And that's the light of consciousness, that's the Messiah. And to come into a gathering like that is a big deal, because some of us come because we're in tremendous pain, and some of us come because we're full, and we come together, and then we can, we can sink. You know, we lift up those, we comfort the afflict, inflict the comforted, and we rise in this name of this truth, this great Veda. Veda means total knowledge. And that's what that's the word that the Greeks, gnosis. And that is the first order in the Temple of Delphi, is know thyself. And that's not your little self that's got a personality and opinions and trauma, probably scar tissue and all kinds of memory that just recreates itself like a germinating seed over and over again. No, know thyself is your Christ self, the anointed one, because the thing that he said was that this is your job, this is your task, greater works than what I have done is your job to do. And I love that. I was born, a regular Christian, Baptist and Methodist beliefs. And after, being a teenager, it didn't work out in my intellect. I was on to it. And over, a course of many things, I found new thought. And thank God. Thank God. And I'm passionate about it because that truth that he is not the great exception but the great example, that is fundamental. And it puts the responsibility on us. It means we are the ones that have to do this work in consciousness now. We are the ones that have been sent as the Savior. And it's going to require us to have to look within and know thyself. And that's not a hard thing. Or it can be hard. It's a simple thing. Actually, it is hard. But it is a simple thing. And we were talking in the car, because that's what the mind wants to do, is go to the future, and how could I ever fully know myself? How could I ever rise to be that pure consciousness of the Christ, that healing hem of the garment that Mary Baker Eddy and Emma Curtis Hopkins and Joel S. Goldsmith and Myrtle Fillmore and Charles Fillmore embodied, thousands of years after the man walked on this planet? This has been proven. That's the good news about New Thought. That's why I was interested in it, because it demonstrates that each of us have this capacity to come into this pure consciousness and literally be an electromagnetic field emanating a healing frequency. And I've seen it. I've seen tumors dissolved. I've seen all kinds of miracles. I have a friend who ultimately ended up needing to get the pacemaker taken out. The doctor didn't even know how to do that. Yeah, my friend Joe. It's, you know, this is real. It's real. And it's upon us. And that's why it's New Thought, Ancient Wisdom. Because, you know, it's not a new idea. There's a lot of odd things about early Christianity, the Gnostic, early Gnostic teachings. There's a lot of odd things. But fundamentally, in Gnostic Christianity, it does say that you are wired up and created in a specific way that you can be that mechanism through which pure consciousness experiences itself. And that's called your nervous system, your physiology. When you learn to purify your physiology and raise your physiology, it expands your levels of awareness, and it helps to erase some of that memory. In Vedic, it's called smriti. It's neither good or bad, but it can certainly yield whatever it is that's already germinating. So you'll just get more of the same paradigm if you're looking and allowing seeds of memory in your consciousness to outpicture as, you know, scarcity and nobody loves me and not enoughness. It's hard to break out of those paradigms. It requires effort, which is why meditation is the key. You've got to still the mind and get to those lower, deeper levels of mind where it's beyond articulated thought. It requires a practice. And this is the work that he told us to do. This isn't a mood. I love that we gather and we can create a high mood. But the work, the teachings say you got to go home and you got to practice. It means you have to eat right too, and you can't fill yourself with hard negative things like the news, which is so charming. Yeah. So you're wired for this. It's your birthright. That's my talk title. Your birthright and your mandate. Your birthright is to experience and express the Christ, the enlightened, the spark, the ignition of love. It's ultimately love, right? That's all it is. And you have that authority in you. You have a beating heart. And you have had the experience of love, if you're not having it now. You know it. And it is the thing itself. And it knows itself only as itself. And that's you. And there isn't anything else. And I believe that is exactly what the master teacher was doing when he was doing his healing work. Matthew something, I don't remember. But he says he's in that place and they lower down the man who can't walk. And he says, take courage. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisee and the Sadducee in the back of the room got all bristly and said, well, who are you to forgive? And he said the most important thing, which was, what do you want me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. But you should know that even the Son of Man has authority to forgive on earth. And then he goes, take up your bed and go. And the guy got up and walked. And so everybody freaked out and realized, oh my God. That's pure forgiveness. That is what our mandate will be. If you're going to accept your birthright, it means you'll have a mandate. And that is going to be to forgive everything that contradicts absolute truth. And that is love. And you have access to love. We were talking in the car. You got to dial it down. You got to dial. She said, dial it down. All you can do is right now and today. I can't think about, well, if I make this choice, what's it going to mean? I'm going to have to surrender more and more and more. No. you just surrender that little bit that you can today. What are you surrendering? You're surrendering the smriti, the memory, the trauma pattern, the scar tissue. How does it get surrendered? Well, it's really helpful if you have that practice. I am about to graduate with my bachelor's from consciousness with in consciousness and human potential from Maharshi International University online program. Yeah, I was about to become a therapist when I got pregnant, and my kid's 23 now, and he got through college, and it was my turn. They took all my credits, and I thought, great, But one of the things I had to do in order to finish, because that was a lifelong dream, I wanted to finish my bachelor's. I'm in my 50s now, and I had to learn transcendental meditation, and it changed my life. And I didn't think my life could change. I mean, I know about physiology. When I was 16, I went to a Tony Robbins thing, and I walked on 2,000-degree hot coals. I learned at 16. I think that's pretty good. That make the brain is a little more pliable at 16. I learned embodied knowledge. I can change my physiology, and I can literally change matter. I walked on fire. A bunch of other people walked on it too. So, I know that there's a key to that physiology. It's easy to raise your physiology, especially when you're in a group like this. And we're singing, and we're hugging, and we're affirming truth. But there's also a purification of the physiology, which I've learned is equally important. And that's going to be in the meditation practice, which really should be twice a day. But by doing any kind of meditation practice, especially transcendental meditation practice, but any kind of getting your mind into those deeper, slower wave, brain waves, deeper areas of mind underneath articulated thinking is an abstract kind of thought. More of a feeling and a sensation, and below that is absolute I am that I am. We want to practice getting into these levels of mind that these healing hem of the garment frequencies are, that Jesus was, is, that you are. And so, what time is it? How much time do I have? Okay. I want to tell you, because I am talking about your birthright and your mandate, and I believe this is the story of him trying to explain it to us, because at the time the concepts, I guess, of God that was there that he was speaking to was a father, male, patriarchal God, Yahweh. And so, his metaphor was, the prodigal son, the father's house. Everybody know that story? Kingdom of heaven consciousness. That story is about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about your consciousness. Kingdom of heaven is not a place. It doesn't have space-time locality. It is your consciousness, which is everywhere present. Did you know that? It is. And so by you hearing the story of the prodigal son, which son are you, right? I'll tell you the story in case you don't know it. Rich, rich man. Imagine, okay? $2 billion, that's a lot. Didn't somebody get sued recently for almost $1 billion? And that everybody was making a big deal of that. So we're talking a lot. We're talking about full resource, right? That's your father. And there's an inheritance. And one son says, I want my inheritance. I want to go out and make my place. I want to establish who I am. The ego self, the self, the part of us that needs to secure ourselves in this paradigm of duality that's always, and it's filled with just garbage narrative. We have to survive. And so give it to me now. I'm going to go make my own way, right? Without that father's presence. And he goes, and he squanders it, and he loses it, and he's homeless now, and he's eating trash, and he's in the back of the restaurant alley with a dumpster, and he realizes, oh my gosh, even my father's servants and staff eat better than this. I should go back and ask for a job. I'll go back and do that. And as he's making his way upon the hill, the father sees him, and he begins to shake and tremble, and he runs to the son. That is the deal. By you just turning in any moment, dial it down. In this moment, I'm going to turn to the Father's house, to the kingdom of heaven consciousness. And I'm going to seek only that as my answer. All of this out here certainly will press upon us. But we're going to turn. And, you know the part where he gives him the robe and the ring, and there's a big calf slaughtered, and they're going to have a party. And the other son, I'm the other son. Well, it looks like I'm the first son if you've looked at my life story, but I identified with the other son. And the other son says, what are you doing? He wasted all his, and you're giving him this, what are you doing? And the father says, don't you know? You are my son, and all that I have is yours. All of that total knowledge is yours. And if we're going to talk about living in a world that works for everyone, right, especially New Thought, we got to be truthful. And that is going to be how are we putting that in our communities and in our structures, in our social structures, where there really is a world that works for everyone. And that's, we got to look at that zero-sum game that got taught to the poor white people after the Civil War. That, you know, to give to the less privileged means there's not enough for you. And when really what it is that 1%, that 3% that's controlling all the money, that's where the money is. It's not over there with the less privileged. Yeah. We got to put that in our lives. That's the mandate. You know, I'm not saying pick it or whatever, get political. I'm saying get consciousness of love. It might mean you have to have a conversation with somebody or stop having lunch. I don't know. But you got to take a stand. You can't have a split mind about it. Your subconscious will know that you're fooling yourself. And then you'll deal with all kinds of, you know, your ability to manifest and demonstrate, which is what New Thought is also about, learning how to manifest. It's very, you know, simple too. So that is your birthright, the Father's house of bliss, being at baseline, full expression of your creativity and your genius, and knowing your deservedness. And that mandate in Vedic, Maharshi calls it your first dharma. Your first priority is to know God. Your first priority is to establish daily contact with something that is beyond your thoughts, your emotions, and your five senses, your intellect, and your ego. You'll have to have a relationship with something, and you know, it takes time to get evidence of that relationship. But once you start getting evidence, the signs start flowing in. And that's the last thing I'm going to share with you. You know, because I'm always like, you know, what am I supposed to do here? Who am I talking to? And how can I speak better in a way that people can understand? And I was at the thrift store. I really only love shopping at thrift stores. And I looked down, and there was this book, and it's called Putting on the Mind of Christ. And of course, you know, I know about this book. And I opened it up, and the name on the front says Paula McDeasy. Yeah. I'm going to read to you page 3, and then we'll move into meditation and prayer. It's just, you know, page three, like you open the book and there's page three. The Father, the I Am Presence, the Son, our self, our physiology. You know, we are a soul in a bodysuit. We have a physiology. And the Holy Spirit, which is that soul self that is in between the concept of who you think you are in this body and the I am that I am. So page three, the author is saying, he told us that we should seek first the kingdom of heaven. That is the realization of the kingdom of heaven should be the principal goal of every Christian's life. But the single most important thing that Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven was that the kingdom of God is within. This kingdom, a kingdom that you and I can find and see only by going deep within ourselves. There is no other way except by going within to get the kingdom Jesus preached. No other way. In the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer Jesus personally instructed us to say, he taught us that it was our responsibility to pray every single day that the inner kingdom of heaven he preached about would come into existence for all of us right here on earth. It's not a place. It's a state of consciousness that creates an electromagnetic field that is your heart and your brain coherence. It's called the hem of the garment. And that's your mandate. And I just loved what Peggy shared. Pray. If you can't do anything, then you pray. The most powerful prayer I was taught was the Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry that I am perceiving you this way. Please forgive me for doing that. Thank you for reminding me that I've never been hurt, harmed, or endangered. I love you. That love part, that's the part. And that's what he did when he healed that paraplegic. He forgave his perception. And he looked right at the truth and said, stand up. Let's meditate now. Thank you. grateful I am for this holy ground we stand on. So grateful for the shoulders we stand on, these high, high vibratory beings who have surrendered to love, who have shared their knowledge and inspired us, have been that ignition to our oiled wick that we are. For we are the Messiah, the anointed, the appointed, the living ones who have been created out of perfection, created out of a divine intelligence that only knows itself as wholeness and life and beauty and harmony and symmetry. And yet I know this perfection of absolute is the diversity of all manifest and unmanifest creation. And it is in integrity with itself. It does not withhold from itself. It does not contradict itself. It only loves. And that is what we are. We are its expression. We are its vessel. We have been created out of it to be more of this full expression, beauty, harmony, abundance, bounty, equity, equality, wisdom, discernment, generosity. And so I know that everyone within the sound of my voice is blessed, that something wonderful is happening in their lives, that there is a freedom and a clarity and an insight rooting itself, establishing itself, a spark of grace that propagates and fruits and lifts and heals. And we are doing this together, and I am so grateful for that truth. For I know that we are never alone, always fully understood and known. I speak a word of healing for anybody who is experiencing the body temple, sickness, ill health. It is a no thing. There is only one thing that is true. Facts change. Truth is always the same. And this is the perfect code of everybody within the sound of my voice. And this code demonstrates and outpictures this perfect circulation, heart, metabolism, digestion, joint, all of it is the radiant life of love, the Christ. I'm just so thankful to know that we have gathered two or more in the name and in the nature of what is real and true. And so it must return fulfilled. I have spoken a description simply of what is. And so I know it must outpicture. And it does so in its perfect way, each for each individual, in ways that they can feel and sense and perceive. That we come together again and again, building our conviction. I'm so grateful for this truth. I release this living word into the law, and I let it be so, saying, and so it is. Ashe.
Consciousness.